Chapter 46, Riddles in the Dark. In 1932, as aluminum began to be added to the diphtheria vaccine, autism wasn't the only disorder to make its appearance. In December, an American scientist working in Paris ordered Homard Saint-Jacques, a delectable dish of lobster, and happily downed the entire meal. By the next morning, his fingers had puffed up to twice their normal size. His lips were distended as if stung by a bee, and his face was so swollen that his eyes nearly shut, rendering him unable to see. This effect completely shocked him, as he had never experienced it before. Thereafter, he was unable to eat anything that had even touched, no matter how remotely, certain shellfish and other creatures of the sea, without fear of a deadly reaction. An account of his ordeal is one of the first mentions of anaphylaxis from food allergy in the recorded history of mankind. Before then, accounts of any allergy did not appear, besides hay fever and insect stings before the 1900s. The words allergy and anaphylaxis didn't even exist. But in 1932, the year aluminum began being injected into humans, anaphylaxis from food allergy appears seemingly out of nowhere. This is likely not coincidence, as aluminum has been discovered to be uniquely capable of causing problems, and as mentioned earlier, is used in scientific experiments to purposefully induce allergy. The simultaneous arrival of autism and allergy was not all. That same year, a surgeon named Dr. Burl Bernard Crone published a paper that described a strange new intestinal illness he had begun to see. It involved inflammation in the intestines of his patients, typically starting at the terminal ileum, where the small intestine joins the large. While gastroenteritis and other intestinal ailments were not an uncommon problem at the time, the illness he had been seeing was. The body appeared to be incapable of clearing it. The inflammation could last for months at a time, sometimes causing damage to the tissue it infected. They would name it after its discoverer and call it Crohn's disease. Other disorders began to appear with similar characteristics. Inflammation in the joints from an invisible infection that wouldn't heal. Problems within the blood from a source unknown. Throughout the decades following the injection of aluminum into humans, an uncomfortable reality began to form in those who studied these illnesses. A new type of disease had appeared, and it wasn't following the rules. At the time, the concept of the body attacking itself was largely unknown. Autoimmune, a term only a few had heard of. Throughout the second half of the 1900s, as a number of new illnesses began to appear, it became more prevalent. Although the arrival and subsequent rise in autoimmune disorders is officially unexplained, its association with aluminum is increasingly being accepted as a possible cause. The role of aluminum adjuvant used in vaccines has also received particular interest, a correlation that has unsurprisingly been met with mockery and derision by those whose careers have recommended and rely on its use. From the first time aluminum was injected into a horse to develop antitoxins, its dramatic immunological effects were realized. Since then, scientists have spent years, some their entire careers, trying to understand the ways in which aluminum affects the immune system. As mentioned earlier, the first inclination was to assume its precipitate effect slowed down the absorption of the antigens to which it was attached. Because of the aggressive granulomas formed around the site of injection, others believed these collections of fibrous tissue slowed down the absorption. More recent study has indicated that this may not be the case at all, but something more complex. It has been suggested that aluminum hydroxide may, among other things, be capable of inducing the intracellular state of bacteria, a form in which they can reproduce inside white blood cells and carry on undetected within the immune system. In this form, certain bacterial infections can spiral out of control and cause the inflammation associated with Crohn's disease and other autoimmune disorders. Regardless of the specifics of the mechanism, something about aluminum hydroxide is clearly capable of antagonizing the immune system into overdrive. From the improved efficacy vaccines exhibited once it was added, to the way in which it's used to help induce asthma and allergy, there is no debate that the aluminum adjuvant in vaccines does something very powerful to the immune system. Before its widespread injection into children starting in the 1930s, autoimmune illness was nearly, if not completely, non-existent. Shortly after children began receiving injections of the metal, it began to appear. When a child is infected with measles, mumps, or rubella, they apparently experience an increased risk of encephalitis. In a population whose children aren't malnourished, this is a minuscule risk, but even so, the risk is there. The same thing is possible with a measles, mumps, or rubella vaccine. Although the viruses they contain are supposed to be attenuated into a harmless state, occasionally things do go wrong. When the viruses are purposefully administered by a procedure that requires an injection and immobilization or restraint of the child, it is not hard to imagine that if the brainstem is aggressively signaling for help during this event, the microbes within the vaccines are going to get picked up by the white blood cells and may end up in the brain. No matter the case, any of these infections, whether naturally occurring or from the vaccine itself, they should get cleared by the immune system after a few days. The child may experience some disturbing neurological symptoms if the inflammation from the infection begins to cause problems, but as their immune system eventually gains the upper hand, they return to their former self, in part, if not in whole. However, in a child that has aluminum in their body from a previous or concurrent vaccination, the chance of danger intensifies. If an infection were to form in their brain and aluminum were present, it could turn a moderate infection into a dangerous one. The immunological effects of aluminum appear to have the ability to cause the body to turn against itself, and instead of encephalitis, the child might develop something much worse, autoimmune encephalitis. With this condition, the swelling in someone's brain could begin to cause long-term damage. Rather than an intense period of 48 hours from which the child could recover, the battle turns into a sustained infection lasting weeks, months, even years, an assault from which the destruction of neuronal cells is inevitable. An affected child might bang their head with their hands or against a wall, an instinctual reaction to summon a more dramatic response to an immune system which appears to be malfunctioning. Knowing that an infection from nearly anything appears capable of causing the effects of autism, if only temporarily, it should surprise no one that the long-running chronic infection of an autoimmune condition, particularly the swelling of encephalitis, is capable of causing a devastating effect on the brain. Autoimmune encephalitis can occur in adults, often with terrifying results. Because the brain is more fully developed, the impairments don't often resemble autism as we know it. Even so, the patients can clearly describe the symptoms they are experiencing: anxiety, memory problems, hallucinations, and seizures. For infants and toddlers whose ability to communicate may be undeveloped, the effects of this condition can be traumatic. Without aluminum, most cases of measles, mumps, or rubella-induced encephalitis would likely resolve on their own. In children whose bodies contain aluminum, the likelihood such an infection is unable to resolve on its own may skyrocket. The measles vaccine and combination MMR shot, which came shortly after, appears perfectly capable, when combined with the aluminum hydroxide of other vaccines, of causing autoimmune encephalitis. But it may have brought one more complication along with it, probably one of the most common attributes we now associate with autism: gut issues.